And look out and see everybody who's here today. We're not used to this, right? Take a look around the room and you can wave. You can wave towards the camera for a Zoom. And Zoom people wave to each other and you can put a little wave icon on your Zoom. Hi, Samuel. We have young and old. You're older like me here today. Yeah, it's so good to be here, and hello everybody in Zoom land. We're so glad that we're here together as one. Amen? Such a fabulous service that God has given us all the way up to this point, and it's going to continue on because of his word that he has given to us today. It's a time, everybody, when we hear about people coming to a graduation, right? There's some people graduating from different levels of school, and we have some of our own that are from our church that are graduating and moving on to different places. Do you remember the day that you graduated? Some of you who are a little bit older here today, you can think back on that day, and you probably heard a speech, you know, that was given at your graduation at some point, or you heard somebody else's in that kind of a way. You know, I don't really remember what was said at mine in high school. I do remember who the person was, but that's not important. The thing is that there was someone there who wanted to give us a message so that we would be, first of all, encouraged. I believe the emphasis was on encouragement. And then there was also an element of teaching and a words of wisdom or advice for people who are moving on in their lives, right? And reminders of the things to keep in mind. And they most of them, I believe, would say, hold on to these things. Hold on to these things. Now, I know that it's hard to concentrate. It's hard to concentrate in these days we're living, especially because we have so many things that are calling our attention away. But God's word is so important for us to pay attention to. And so what I'd like for you to do today is to think of this as a kind of a graduation message from our Father in heaven, you know, that comes through the Holy Spirit, that is going to be encouraging to us, a big dose of encouragement, and then also filled with wisdom and a message that is going to help us to remind us of how we should live and things to live lives as people of God. Can we do that today? Through God's help today, through the Holy Spirit's help, let's do that and encourage one another in that way to remember these things. You might want to write some things down. You know, if you have a pencil or if you have something with it to do that with, sometimes it's good to write that down, you know, and make a jot or a mental note. You have an iPhone, you can write a note in an iPhone. You know, I think we can do that together too, right? But it's hard to remember things unless you write them down. People have taught me that throughout my life. And a lot of times it just kind of went over my head, but I've learned with time that it's good to do that. So let's get into it, all right? Let's look into the word of God, and we can hear the message that God is going to give us at this graduation assembly today. First of all, when we look at the book of 2 Corinthians, we're looking at the writing of Paul to the church of Corinth. And we know that Paul has a rocky kind of a relationship with them. They don't see eye to eye on things. And one of the biggest thing, if not the biggest reason for that, is that the people that were living in this church were beginning to go away from the message that Jesus Christ and his grace was the means to salvation, and returning to their ways of thinking that you gain salvation by your works. They return to the law and the emphasis on the law. If you've been attending the Bible study in the book of Romans on Wednesday nights, we've been talking about that, and he teaches that as well, right? It's found in the book of Ephesians too. There's all through this message, you know, that it's by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. You know how I know that? Recently I was listening to a CEF song helping me to memorize that verse. There's all kinds of methods that are around for children to memorize things and to know those things, but it's so important for us to be able to remember that. And that is what the people there had forgotten. And he was concerned for them because he loved them. He was concerned for them because he was an apostle of God, a messenger of God, someone who had met Jesus personally and who was given this commission by Jesus to give this message to other people, that it's by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not the works that you perform, although you have been given works by God to do. You're saved alone by the grace of God. It's a gift. And it's through Jesus Christ who died on the cross. Let me read a few verses just to begin from the previous chapter in chapter 5. And if you want to read along with me, it's from verse, let's say from 17, chapter 5, 2 Corinthians, verse 17, and I'll read through 21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us, and we implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Let's shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. That is encouraging, isn't it? What a way to begin the graduation speech that God is giving us today. A big dose of encouragement and good news that Jesus Christ became sin for the sake of you and me, so that we wouldn't have to die, but have eternal life. That is encouraging. And that is the way to begin a life. This is the day that God has prepared for that. This day, this very day. Right? And so all of this message here is a big dose of the gospel. And you hear all the reconciliation going on in there. Think for a moment where you would be if you didn't have this message of reconciliation. Think for a moment where we would be if we had a fight with somebody and we wouldn't go and say, let's make up. Think about your life like that. But with Jesus, he restores the friendship. He restores the relationship that was broken. He brings forgiveness into our lives. He brings a gift of his salvation into our lives. And we say, you know what? We're being silly here. Let's be friends. Let's be united. Let's put it behind us. Why do we need to live like that? And that's the good news that he begins this with. Let's concentrate on that as we begin this fabulous day of encouragement, the graduation gift today. All right. Now we're going to go into chapter six here. Okay. Working together with him. This is encouraging. God works with us. We work with God. Can you think of anything that would be more special than that? That God, this God that created all the universe, and we look up into the skies and we see the sun and the moon and the stars, and we see human beings that he's given life to, and he says, join me in my kingdom and work with me. I've given you my son. I've restored the friendship, and now let's work together. That's where it comes from. The whole concept comes from God, that we work together. Any kind of relationship you have, you can thank God for it, that there's that working relationship, and we're co-workers in the church like this. Amen? So each one of us has a purpose in life. There isn't anyone who doesn't. That sets us apart from everything that all the other people in the world think. Oh, we can never work with him. Oh, look at them. Look at these people. Oh, I don't want to be near these people. You know the way they are. God says, be reconciled to them. Take the peace that is a gift from me to you and be reconciled. And let's work together to make this world a great place for God as the one who is leading us there. He says, working together with him, then we appeal to you. These are the co-workers, the people that believe in Jesus Christ, the ones who are working with Paul, not to receive the grace of God in vain. So he has an appeal. Now, here is some of the wisdom. This is some of the advice that is coming through for us today through Paul, the graduate speaker for us, okay, today. He's saying, I appeal to you. Did you ever appeal to someone? to listen to something that you want to say to them, that you're thinking for their good and you're saying, I want this, please. I want you to do this. This is important for you. That's what he's saying. We appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. You know what grace is. We've just heard it. It's a gift from God. It's something that God has given to us that has set us free from sin, that has united us with God and made us one, right? Saved us from death and all these things. Now, don't throw that away. Don't throw that away. What they were doing is they were returning to their old ways. They were going back to the old man. They were going back to their old traditions and saying, we're more comfortable that way. We want to do works to gain our salvation. We want to do it that way. We want to have control over our salvation, right? And God is thinking, no, I gave my son to show you that it's through him, not through works. And it's a gift. You can't do it yourself. So he's saying, don't take this grace. You've been given grace. Don't receive that in vain. In vain means for no purpose. Right? Can you think about, those of you who have been baptized, can you think about that day and the things that you said that you were willing to do for God? Can you think back on that day when you said, I'm going to follow Jesus, and people were singing the song, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back, amen? Right? And so those are the things that God is doing. And believe me, there's a lot of love behind this kind of thinking. It isn't like you failures, you people, he's appealing to them to remind them because he loves them and he cares for them. And this is a messenger from God. He's an apostle from God who comes to them and says, I have been given this message for you and I am going to do it even if you don't like me. And they didn't. And if you read through all of his letters, he talks about the things that they said about him. It's not easy being an apostle. It's not easy being a messenger or somebody who has a message for people like that. If you're a parent and you have children, you can think about your own parents, right, in your life. If they were to just kind of go along and say, you're a good boy, you're a good boy, you're a good girl, you're a good girl, oh, good job, everything is fine. No, just keep on doing what you're doing. I'm not going to show you anything. You do it yourself, and then I'll just, kind of stay out of the way. You're not going to be helping them at all. What you're going to have is a spoiled child. You're going to have someone who doesn't learn how to live in this world effectively. And so he's appealing to them and saying, listen, I know that you don't like hearing this. I mean, it's hard to imagine that people would be rejecting Jesus dying on the cross for them and giving them the free gift of life, but they were doing that. And that's not surprising because we're sinful people. We want control. We want to do things our way. Many, many times when we're baptized and we move on from there, we feel like it's done. Hey, I've got that done. Now I can move on with my life. I can go to church occasionally or maybe not at all. I can do what I have to do because Jesus saved me from my sin and I can go to heaven. Well, it's not the way it works. Why would that be something appealing anyway? I mean, it wouldn't have any heart to it. It wouldn't have any depth to it, right? We're people that are given a mind and a heart to be able to appreciate what is depth, You want to grow deeper in your knowledge of something. If you're in a profession, you want to learn more about those things and appreciate it more, right? If you were just going to stay the same and kind of go through the motions, why would that be appealing to you? It's the same kind of thing. If you were given eternal life through a God who has given his son for you and me to restore us to himself. So we have friendship with God and we have peace with God and we do those things. That is what we want to do. So the message here is when you're graduating, remember, don't receive the grace of God in vain. Those are good words to remember in life. Am I taking advantage of God's grace? I don't want to live like that. Very simple concept. But it's coming from love, and it's coming from a God who made you. And he knows what's best, and he knows if he only just says, you're good, keep doing whatever you want, then he would not be God. And so that's where parents come from, this idea, and where people who have integrity and character come from. They learn it from our God. And it's right here in his word. So he goes on to this. And now this is great for us today to consider. It's another encouragement, okay? In it, he says, in a favorable time, I listened to you. In a day of salvation, I have helped you. Now this is a quote from Isaiah 49:8. Paul knows the Old Testament. He knows that it is a means by which God has shown him the meaning of the gospel that God had from that time on planned on bringing into the world a Messiah. His name is Jesus Christ. And so this verse, he brings back to the people, the Jewish people, for them to hear and to help them to be able to associate, right, with what they are doing now as being wrong. Right. And to bring this reminder into their minds, those people who are saying, I don't need Jesus. I want to be doing it by works and by the law. He goes and goes back to their Old Testament, which they know so well. And it says, in a favorable time, I listened to you. In a day of salvation, I have helped you. And so they hear from Paul, this Jewish man who is now a Christian, telling them with love that you can hear in your Old Testament writings, in the Old Testament writings that you've been brought up on, you can hear the message that God was promising a salvation to come, and it was found in Jesus Christ. And that's what he was talking about here. I have listened to you, and in a day of salvation, I have helped you. And that was pointing forward to the servant who is Jesus Christ, coming to save the world from their sins. And so that would make a connection for them. And what does he say next? Behold, now is the favorable time. That was the prophecy. That was what you heard. Now is the time for that prophecy to come true. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. That is the time that Jesus Christ came into the world. And as it was prophesied and said in the Old Testament, Isaiah, it came true in Jesus Christ. He is the fulfillment of all the prophecies. And that hit home to the people there who heard it, because they said, yeah, I remember that. I remember that. It's written in our word, in God's word there. And that was Isaiah. So I see the connection now, just like Paul did when he was taught it. Yeah, I was brought up that way. And now, wait a minute, you're telling me that the Messiah really did come, the one that we've been waiting for all this time, that comes and takes away the sin of the world and sets me free so that I don't have to make any more sacrifices with lambs, the one that put an end to all those things so that I can say that my King is here and has brought me into salvation. That's the time. That's the favorable time. We're living in that time. Yes, it's the time. It came. He was here. And it's a favorable time. It's the time that I have pronounced as being favorable. God has control over these things. And so what kind of a message do we have now for the graduates of Grace Church that are sitting here hearing a graduation message? We are living in the time of Christ. We are living in the time of the coming of Christ Jesus, that he is here, his kingdom is here. And we rejoice in it, and we turn to him, and we give thanks to him, and we give our lives to him, and we say, God, use me. Use me. I want to serve you. Now is the time. Now is my time. What do you have going on in your life today? What's going on in your particular life today? When you think of the time that you're living in right now, what comes into your mind? For a lot of people, we think of the pandemic. It jumps right into how can we escape it? Do you think of that as being a favorable time? Do you think of this as being the time of salvation? If you don't, God is speaking to you the words of encouragement here to tell you that it is. It doesn't say it depends on a pandemic is happening or not. In case of pandemic, disregard what I said. In fact, it takes on more and a deeper meaning because of the pandemic, doesn't it? It comes in as a message of hope and of light and saying, I have a God who is reconciling, and he gave his own son to die on the cross for me, and he rose from the dead to show that death has no power over me. That is a message for the pandemic time. That is the time to bring this into the words of people and to say, this is the time that God has chosen to redeem people and to bring them into his kingdom. There's nothing else that I know of that can compare to that. And there's nothing more that I could offer to anybody, even if it's a physical kind of a help that can compare with the kind of a power that is at work in the message that is right here. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And what a great opportunity to explain that to people with your knowledge of the gospel and say, let me explain that to you. And you go back into chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, you say to them, you see, Jesus Christ came in to reconcile the world, to save us from our sins, to take us away from the things that are going to lead to death and to bring life into our lives. And so even if I die, I have no fear of death because he has saved me. And he's promised me that I will live forever. And he promised that Jesus would come, and he did come. And that same God is making a promise that he would come again. And I believe it. Stand on those words today and offer those words and see the power of God. We have to break away from our quietness and our masks and start to speak to God's people that he is willing to save in this world. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying not to wear masks. What I'm saying is that don't let this thing that is happening around us cause you to fear. Because God is greater. And he's looking for us as his people to tell people that. Now, in the next section, Paul goes on to talk about the things that he has done to let the Corinthians know, who were really talking badly about him. He goes through all of these things to describe the kind of work that he's been involved in as a means of saying, actually, you got me all wrong. You're trying to attack the message that I have as being wrong, and you want to return to your works. And so you're making fun of me and you're saying, oh, you're not relating and you're no longer a Jew and you don't care about the Jewish traditions and all these different things. And so he's been attacked. And so he goes into a rather lengthy description that we don't have time today to look at really in depth. But what he does is he talks about the things that he's had to endure: hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, labors, sleepless nights, hunger. He's had to endure all of those things. Why? Because the world is attacking the kingdom of God. They're attacking the light. They reject it just like they rejected Jesus. And so he talks about that. And then he talks about the things that he was learning from God, like purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit coming in, genuine love by truthful speech and the power of God. Weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left. He lives in honor and dishonor through slander and praise, both of those together. He has experienced both honor and dishonor, slander and praise. We are treated as imposters and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold, we live. We are punished and yet not killed. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing everything. Do you hear what I was just saying before about how we have no fear? They're going through those things, and they're going through those kind of things in their lives, but still there is life where people are dying, right? Punishment and yet not killed. Sorrowful, yet rejoicing. Poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing everything. That is a Christian life. That is what he is teaching them through this part of the scripture. He's saying to them, listen, I know you're going through things. I know that I'm going through things, but this is the way it is. In all of these things that we experience, all of the negative ones that are listed here, there is a victory in it. And that victory is through God. This is not an easy teaching, and it's something that you will never understand fully until you go to heaven. But it's still a teaching, and it's one that we need to absorb and really take in as we go along. God did not promise us that everything was going to be smooth, just like we don't want to tell a graduate everything is going to go just smooth as, you know. But he says it's worth it. Because I've met Christ and I know who he is, and he forgave me of my sins. He took my sins away and he sent me out with this message, and nothing can compare with that. I don't care what happens to me. If Paul were living at this time, he would be going out and telling people this pandemic. Yes, there's things happening around us that are hard to deal with, but Christ is victorious. And it points out to us how important Christ is to us. If you're struggling with that, then you need to go to God and say, Lord, I'm struggling with that concept. Can you please really help me through this? Because I see so much happening in the world and I see so much pain. How can I deal with this? Use me, Lord, to be able to bring your gospel in some way, some shape, some form to people so that they can know that they have hope in their lives. And that is what he's doing. He's painting the picture for them through all of this reality there. There's a message that is given in the Bible that we need to also keep in mind when we spread the gospel and we're talking to people. He was afraid for their salvation. He was afraid for their lives. In Hebrews 3:12, it says, take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart. He's talking to brothers. He's talking to people who believe in Christ. But he's warning them and saying, take care, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. That would be a message I think graduates would need to hear. A dose of reality, and people together here in our church need to hear. Where is your heart today? Do you have a believing heart or an unbelieving heart? The good news is, when you hear that Christ has died for your sins, you have an opportunity to believe. John Bunyan wrote a book that I want to give to the graduates this year from our church called The Pilgrim's Progress. And in that book, it's not an easy read. It's not easy. It comes across as it is, but it's about a man who walks through life toward heaven and all of the things that he experiences, good and bad. And there's one place where he is going along his journey, and he comes to this place where there's a man in an iron cage. And the man in the iron cage is sitting there, and he said, why are you in this iron cage? And he said, because instead of believing and instead of following Christ, I let the lusts of this world take over my life. And so the pilgrim said to him, but Christ is your Savior, and you've recognized that you've done that. So go to Christ and be redeemed and be reconciled to him. And he said, no, it's too late. I have let the lusts of my heart take over, and I want to live for this world alone. And so therefore I will not believe. And so we want to be careful that we do not reach the point where when Christ's love comes to us, and he has given that we don't take advantage, that this grace that is given to us is not in vain. Let me read you another scripture here from chapter 4 of Hebrews. Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience, again he appoints a certain day. Today, saying through David, so long afterward, the words already quoted. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Do not harden your hearts. I can tell you from my own experience as a Christian that there are times that you're going to face when you have a hard time. You have a hard time believing sometimes, you know, and your faith is going to be challenged. But today, God is saying, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. This is so important for us. And so when we come into this last part of the the graduation speech, let us end with a big dose of encouragement. What Paul does in these last verses here, if you want to turn to that and just look for it as we seek what God is wanting to touch our hearts with today. He says, we have spoken freely to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open. You're not restricted by us, but you are restricted in your own affections. In return, I speak as to children, widen your hearts also. And so the last word for today, everyone, is one I think that we can receive as encouragement. Widen your heart up. Open up your heart to what? To Jesus. Open your heart to Jesus. Open it up. Let go of what is holding you. You've been hurt. You've been feeling angry. You've been feeling uptight. Whatever it is that is going on in your life, let go of it. Let Jesus in. And that reflects also in our church life. We are having a program called Jesus in the Park. And one of the things that I mentioned to those who came to the training yesterday is that when we go to that park, children are going to be watching us. They're going to be watching us and seeing who we are and what we're about. How are we going to come across to them? Children are very sensitive to that, right? I'm sure that you're sensitive too. How do you come across? How do you reflect your, what are you reflecting in your life? If you let Jesus in, you'll be reflecting him, right? And that's what we want. We want the light of Christ to be reflected. And Paul is this tough guy. I mean, he was very, very, you can see some of the things that he was saying were really, really hard kind of things to hear. But here he goes to them and he said, I know that you don't like me. I know that you want to go your own way and you're really bothered by the fact that I'm trying to teach you that you have to hold on to the grace that is God's gift to you. But I'm willing. Let's talk. Let's work it out. Let's iron this out between us. Why? Because Jesus told us we should. And if we belong to Jesus, that's the way we should act. And it's hard. You know, it's harder than probably being beat up for your faith to go to somebody that you have a fight with and say, I'm sorry. Even if you're at fault. I mean, if you're not at fault and the other person's at fault, but you go to that person and you say, enough. Let's widen our hearts and become one. And so that takes us full circle today from where God was taking us with the children. The two become one. Right? That God takes what is broken and he heals and he brings it into himself. And he gives us that life and that concept to keep in our hearts for our church. United in love. If we're not, how can we go out and fulfill our calling? Because people are going to see it. You're not one. I can tell you're not one. Something's just not jiving in the way your life is. Do you really believe what you are telling me? Are you really living what you're telling me about? When you are, then come back and tell me about it. But people are not stupid. They know when people are saying things they have to say or they feel like they have to say, but they're not living them. And so what God wants from us here in our church is to really be united in that true belief that Jesus Christ is our Savior and we are to be reconciled to him and to one another. And so if there's someone that you are having a fight with today, if you are having odds with anyone, practice what Jesus is telling us. It'll be hard, but he'll be there with you. And he will help you to tell that person, let's do this. Let's widen our hearts and make amends and go together in Jesus Christ and share the gospel to all people. Amen. And then God will be pleased and will bring fruit from his people and his body called his church.